Welcome, Fusion. My name is Jake. I'm one of the pastors here at Christian Assembly, and so good to be with you. We just thank our worship team really quick for leading us so amazingly. Well, it's my deep honor to be with you tonight, Fusion. Love you. And I'm so honored to get to continue in our The Grudge series. It's all about it's really important. How do we move forward? How do we forgive? When minor things happen, little offenses, but also some of the big things. We talked about some of the minor offenses the first week. How do we move past those and forgive? Last week, well, there was a hurricane. But don't worry. Bo's going to bring such an incredible word next week. How do we move forward? How do we forgive some of the bigger betrayals and life-altering events that happen to us? Is it possible? What do we do? So I just want to encourage you, come next week. It's going to be so important. Tonight, I have the deep honor to talk about what do we do when we feel like we actually have a grudge against God? What do we do? How do we move forward from that? And so I'm excited to go to God's word for that. But to start it off on a little lighter note, I have a story from my childhood where I dealt with some feelings of disappointment with God. Fusion, what would you say are probably on the top two list of things little boys between 4 to 8 are into, you know, when they're growing up? Sports, fire trucks, superheroes. For me, it was sharks and dinosaurs. Sharks and dinosaurs. The bigger and deadlier, the better. So great whites, of course, top of the list. Dinosaurs, the T-Rex, of course. Spinosaurus was cool too. Loved a velociraptor. But then I was reading my little kid book and I saw this picture of something twice as big and therefore twice as deadly as a velociraptor. It was called a Utah raptor. In fact, I got a little funny picture of some Utah raptors fighting. I was enamored. I was in awe. And so, Fusion, it's time for me to pray. And I remember where I was. I went to my backyard out, and my trampoline was there, and I came to this moment. I was like kind of preparing myself to pray with all the faith I possibly could muster, with all sincerity. And I prayed, God, turn me into a Utah raptor. No, I did not pray to go back in time and see a Utah raptor or even have a pet Utah raptor. I actually prayed, God, would you turn me into a dinosaur? Well, can I get an amen, Fusion, that God doesn't always answer our prayers in the way that we wish he did? I do remember feeling a little disappointment, though. Like, did I not pray hard enough? Why did God answer other people's prayers but not mine? I really wanted to be a raptor. Now, this is a really simple, silly story to introduce something that's so far from silly or light. Sometimes, Fusion, we feel let down by God. Maybe you've been waiting for years and years for a breakthrough to come, and it hasn't come yet. I'm sorry. You prayed and prayed for healing for someone, and God hasn't healed them yet or didn't heal them. I'm sorry. Maybe you poured your heart and your energy and your soul into a business or a career path, and you thought God was behind it, but it just hasn't panned out or it fell through, and you're like, what? I'm sorry for that. You did your best to honor God, but something happens, and you wonder, why didn't God intervene? Or something happened to you when you're younger, and you think, God, why did you let that happen? What do we do then? Fusion. What do we do then? I want us to go to God's word, but I think we should pray first. Dear God, I feel like we're stepping into holy ground, as we already have, Lord, in your presence. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister and touch our lives the way only you can. Would you speak to us tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at a story from the book of 1 Samuel. And along the way, I'm going to pull out 7 key points that I pray will help us in our times of disappointment with God. If you've got a bulletin, you can follow along and even take notes. Let me set the scene. It opens with a man named Elkanah, and Elkanah has 2 wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah was the first wife, but she couldn't conceive, which is why most scholars believe Elkanah took a second wife. Hannah couldn't bear children. And as the story goes on, we see that she was certainly hurt, sad, confused, in anguish, and disappointed with God. And the first point I want to bring to you tonight, Fusion, is this. Seasons of disappointment with God are often part of the faith journey. I know, it's not the most inspiring thing to start off the night with. I'm sorry, but I pray that it could help you like it helps me to know that it's not that I'm doing this faith thing wrong when things get hard or I have disappointments in my walk of faith. Throughout the Bible, there are people who wrestle and wrestle and wrestle with God, even some of the most faithful. I think of David. Look what he says in Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? But it's not just David. It is. It's Hannah. It's Job. It's Miriam. It's Moses. It's Aaron. It's David. It's Jeremiah. It's John the Baptist. It's all the people who loved Jesus and watched him die on the cross. Think of the Apostle Paul. In the book of 2 Corinthians, he shares about this time where God had allowed him to have what he described as a thorn in his flesh. And Paul talks about how he prayed multiple times to God, God, take this thorn away from me. Even the great apostle. And in that time, I'm sure he dealt with some disappointment. God, why aren't you taking this thing away from me? Why, God? But I want to show you something that I was so encouraged by. In that moment of God, why? What are you doing? Praying to God in this disappointment, he has an encounter with the living God. And Jesus speaks to him. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Could it be, Fusion, that in the place of your disappointment, that God wants you to come to him with it and wants to speak to you a word that only he can speak to you that will then bring blessing to other people around you. I was thinking about this talk and I knew how important of a talk it was, and I reached out to one of my mentors, and he's my uncle. He's a pastor at another church, and his name's Uncle Dale, and I reached out to him. I call him Uncle Dale. I was like, Uncle Dale, what do I say? This is holy ground. This is important stuff. And he just said, Jake, don't forget to tell them that moments of great disappointment can be defining moments in people's lives and faiths. I even think of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you remember that before he went to the cross, he pleaded with God the Father multiple times, God, if there's any other way, would you take this cup away from me? And in his deep anguish, there must have been disappointment when God said, the Father said, there's no other way, my son. Our Savior himself dealing with that. And yet, what has God done with God the Son going through that anguish and through that disappointment and trusting God? Look what's happened. The salvation of the world. What could God do with our disappointment and going to him? The point of this is, if you're experiencing disappointment with God, you're so not alone. And it's a part of the journey of faith. Let's keep going. Hannah's story continues. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. And the priests of the Lord at that time were the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Yikes. Peninnah, the piranha. Am I right? Sounds like a real winner of a person. Not really. But you can only imagine Hannah's mindset. She's got to be thinking, God, why would you give all these children to Peninnah and give none to me? Not even one. And verse 7 is painful to me. Year after year, it was the same. Maybe some of you Fusion can relate to that. Year after year, it's the same. Hannah knows what that's like. The story continues. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Guys, let me help you out for a second here. As best we can tell in the story, Elkanah is an overall good guy, but apparently not the highest EQ in the world, not the sharpest tool in the shed. Elkanah meant to be helpful, but he wasn't helpful. And that brings me to point number 2. Be very wise with your words to those who are dealing with disappointment with God. If you know someone who's in a season of deep disappointment, we can sometimes stumble into saying unhelpful things, though we mean to be helpful, right? If you don't know what to say, then don't feel like you need to say anything and just be with them. One of the ways God helps us through deep grief and disappointment is simply by a trusted friend being with us, even if they don't have any or all the answers for us. I love what 2 Corinthians 7:6 says. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Wow, by the coming of somebody else to be with them. You know, I just want to encourage you. What do we do with our disappointment with God? 2 things I definitely want you to remember tonight. Don't give up and don't do it alone. Don't give up and don't do it alone. I remember one time I just experienced the presence of someone being with me. I remember I was going through something of just had a lot of anguish in my soul, a lot of fear and pain. And I was telling my brother about it, who's just such a dear friend to me and an encourager and a comforter. And I remember describing to him my situation, and he was just with me in there in the moment, and he just said to me, this is all he said to me, Jake, I will always be there for you. And God ministered to me through my brother just by saying, I will always be there for you. So let's be wise with our words, and let's be present with people as they're going through disappointment with God. The story continues. 1 Samuel 1:9. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. Here's point number 3. Fusion, let your disappointments drive you towards God and not away from him. I love Psalm 62:8 that just says, pour out your heart to God. Pour out your heart to God. I want to encourage you to do that, Fusion. Pour out your heart to God. Be like Hannah. She brought all of her deep anguish in prayer to God. We don't know all of what she said, but I guess it would be something like, God, help me. Please. Why is this happening? I need you. I have so many feelings, and I'm desperate for you, God. I'd guess that because I felt some of those things in seasons of disappointment with God in my life. In college and in post-college, I dealt with some feelings of fear and anxiety that I thought were pretty normal, even though they were pretty persistent. I prayed. I really sought God. I shared with others, but the feelings and the thoughts, they would just kind of keep coming back. It was exhausting and it was painful. It was also disappointing that even though I was seeking God and I would have some breakthrough, that some of those feelings and those thoughts would come back. I remember in 2016, my mom, who has just been such an encourager, comforter, just an ambassador and representative of God's love in my life for my whole life, she said to me, "Jake, I think it might be time for a break." I was already a youth pastor at CA at the time, so at first I thought she was saying, like, "I think it's time for you to quit your job or at least take a break." What she was actually suggesting was that I see a trusted psychiatrist to see if there was maybe something more going on than we knew at the time. So I did. I went and saw a psychiatrist who happened to be a follower of Jesus. He was warm, helpful, and after sharing with him some of my feelings, my experiences, my thoughts, and my history, he ended up diagnosing me with a form of OCD called scrupulosity. And initially, I was super sad, and I was super disappointed. And I wondered what it all would mean for my life. There's some of it that's just like, what? Why me? Why didn't God just heal me or deliver me all those times that I had already asked him? I don't know. I had already been in counseling, but with this newfound knowledge, I began a fresh counterattack against the fears, which has included medication. And by the way, I just want to say, if you're someone who's being assisted by medication in the journey towards healing and freedom, you are so not a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. You're so not less than. God loves you and sees you and has a powerful purpose for your life. With this newfound knowledge, I sought to not let it turn me away from God. I remember seeking to notice God's goodness even in the midst of this confusion and hardship. I remember sitting across from my therapist and saying to myself, "Look at God. Look at God's rescue." I would not have thought to do this, to go and talk to someone like this, and this is God rescuing me. I couldn't rescue myself, but God is rescuing me. But Fusion, I just got to be honest with you. The battle was not over, and the battle's not over yet. I've had victories, I've had defeats, I've had good seasons, I've had really hard seasons. And if I'm honest with you, I still experience the effects of my OCD, and I still experience disappointment, even some disappointment with God. God, I thought I'd be farther than I am right now. Maybe you felt that too. So where am I going to go with that? Where am I going to go? Makes me think of the book of John, when some of Jesus' disciples ditch him, and he says to his 12, he says, "Are you going to leave me too?" And Peter speaks up. He says, "To whom else will we go, Jesus? Only you have the words of eternal life." Ephesians, I don't have it all perfectly figured out yet, but I know one thing. Only Jesus has the words of eternal life. And I want to encourage you to be like Hannah. Let your pain and your disappointment with God not drive you away from God, but drive you toward the only one who has the words of eternal life. Oh, no, it's not easy all the time. But only Jesus has the words of eternal life. I would encourage you to grieve with God, not away from him. Don't you quit, Fusion. Don't you quit. And don't do it alone. To whom else will we go? The Bible makes it clear that God welcomes your questions, and he's big enough to handle your doubts. Take your pains to God. I believe God would rather have you yell at him in disappointment and pain than walk away not saying anything. Hannah brings her deep anguish to God. In fact, she later says, "I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief, pouring out my soul to the Lord." She uses that disappointment and anguish to go deeper into God, not to turn away from him. She ends the prayer by saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of my life." A priest sees her praying and They end up having a conversation, but at the end of the conversation, the priest says to her, "May God grant your request." That's all he says. There's no immediate change, no light beaming down on Hannah all of a sudden. She still walks away with nothing tangible. She's still got Peninnah to deal with, the piranha. She's still got Elkanah, who has a low EQ. She has no baby. She's got real no sign of God moving. But what does she do? Point number four tonight, Fusion. What do we do with our disappointments with God? Keep showing up in worship. 1 Samuel 1:19 says this: "The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more." Wow. Fusion, that's what we got to do. We got to link arms and help each other, even if we're limping, get to the house of God and get into God's presence and worship. We got to go to the house of God together and help each other believe. Sometimes your greatest act of faith, Fusion, is showing up and worshiping even when you don't feel like it. Even when you don't know how it's going to turn out, she shows up. She doesn't understand. All of her questions haven't been answered. But when we keep showing up, even when the circumstances are hard, it's a form of worship. Saying, "God, I don't understand. I'm hurt. I'm angry. I'm disappointed. But you're worthy for me to bring my questions, hurts, and disappointments." Now, in Hannah's case, the story ends like this: "Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, 'I asked the Lord for him.'" Point number five is this, Fusion: in time, we may see that God's delay is not God's denial. Sometimes our seasons of disappointment look completely different in hindsight when more of the story unfolds. For those in Christ, there is this promise. And God says that for those who are in him, God works everything together for the good. That doesn't mean that everything that happens is good or that God caused everything to happen. But for those in Christ, maybe we will be able to see, "God, I see how you were working for my good, even in that situation." Maybe we'll see that. That's one of the things we do when we're dealing with disappointment with God, is we beg him for his perspective. "God, maybe I'm seeing things not the way you want me to see them." You know, ultimately Christianity, you know, it's not so much about getting God on our page. It's really about our hearts transforming and getting in line with his will. Oh, that we would beg for God's perspective. "God, how do you want me to see this thing?" And pour out our hearts to him. But what if that's not the case? What if our disappointment isn't resolved in this time on earth? Number six, remember, Fusion, this life is not the end of the story. Jesus promises, John 16:33, "I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But Fusion, take heart, because I have overcome the world." Jesus makes it clear that we will have sorrows, pains, trials, and disappointments on this earth. But he encourages us to take heart. Why? Because he has overcome the world. How? By his death and resurrection. And so he shows us that our disappointments and pains and anguish in this life are not the end of the story. Revelation 21:1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared." 21:3, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.'" Can someone say amen? Amen. Revelation 21:5, "And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.'" Fusion, do I still battle fear and even feel frustrated and disappointed that I haven't either been completely healed or made more progress? Yes. Do I have questions for God about it all? Yeah. But I can also tell you that I'm learning how to have a deeper confidence that there is coming a day when I will be completely and fully healed and restored with a new resurrection body and brain. that I'm fully trusting that my disappointment, sorrow, pain, and OCD will all be undone and redeemed. And that's good news. One more verse that's so encouraging to me before Alex comes is Psalm 17:15. It just says this, "Because I'm righteous, I will see you." Talking about God. "When I awake, I will see you face to face and be satisfied." And Fusion, I hold on to that promise in the midst of my disappointments, in the midst of my pains, in the midst of grieving with God. I have this confidence that despite those disappointments, one day, oh, I'll be completely satisfied in his presence. What about in the meantime? Alex, please join me. Am I left to just wallow in pain, bitterness, sorrow, and unchecked fear? By no means, as Paul would say. Point number 7 is this. We can have a deep peace now that transcends understanding. When we're dealing with our disappointment with God, we can be prone to ask, why? Why did this happen? Why didn't you intervene? Why, God? And often we don't get answers to those questions. I don't exactly know why God has chosen to let me have OCD or to continue to feel its effects for years after the diagnosis. And if you have some disappointment with God, you probably have some why questions too. If you're like me, you can be tempted to think, God, if you would just tell me why, then I could be at peace. But God never promises that our peace will come through understanding. We often think, if all my questions were answered, then I'd be at peace. Instead, God offers a different way forward to peace, one that surpasses our understanding, Fusion. Here it is, Philippians 4:5-7. The Lord is near. I just want to say that tonight, Fusion. The Bible says that he's not far from any one of us. And I just, as I was preparing, I just felt like God wants to minister tonight. He wants to touch hearts tonight as we prepare to worship. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm still in this fight, Fusion, but I'm committed to being like Hannah. I'm going to keep showing up to worship. I'm going to keep pouring out my heart to God. I'm going to keep sharing my life and my pains and my struggles with other people. I'm going to keep letting the battles drive me closer to God and not further away from him. Though I'm still in this fight, I'm learning how to have a deeper than fear trust and peace that I belong to Christ and he is with me. He loves me and I will be with him forever. In eternity, there will be no more death, there'll be no more pain, no more OCD, no more sorrow, no more disappointment. Let's pray. God, I so know what it's like for disappointment to want to harden into unbelief that would separate me from you. So Lord, just one more time, I come before you today and I say, help me, Jesus. Have mercy on me, God. Keep me, oh God. And I pray for my dear Fusion family. And I say, oh God, have mercy on your people. Meet each and every person here right now. Lord, may their disappointment not harden into unbelief, but drive them further into intimacy with you, unto breakthrough for them and for other people. If you're in a season of waiting, Fusion, you're disappointed with God because something has already happened and you can't understand it. Pray to him right now. He loves you. He can handle your feelings. Ask him to give you peace that surpasses understanding. You might just tell him, God, I'm not going to hold a grudge against you. What I wanted you to do and you didn't do, I choose to let that go. Though you didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted you to, God, I still choose to trust in you, not because of what I see, but because of who you are. Still others, sometimes we can get disappointed with God because of what people have chosen to do, not necessarily what God did or did not do. Where might you need to separate what a person did or did not do versus what God did or did not do? Maybe you have a friend who's disappointed with God. Don't back up from them because you're afraid you might say the wrong thing. Just say, I love you. I'm here for you. What can I do to serve you? They don't need all the answers from you. In times of great grief, we just need someone's presence with us. So, Father, right now as we sing a final song, Holy Spirit, would you come in this room right now? Fusion, would you just go to God right now like Hannah? Just turn to God. Let any pain or disappointment drive you deeper into him as we sing.